Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom's Way Ministries and tonight's message. For anybody who has opened this message as a podcast, we'd like for you to understand this is a live teleconference meeting, so there'll be people dialing in from all over the country. So we'll start the message in about 3 to 5 minutes. That will give everyone a chance to get here. And anytime you podcast listeners, anytime you'd like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconferences, the teaching meetings are held every Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You would dial 605-475-2090 and enter your access code, which is 373-363-pound. You can also go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information about us and our morning teleconference lines as well. So welcome once again. If you'd like to say hello, now is a good chance to do that.
Hello, this is Helen.
Thank you for being here, my dear.
Yeah, thank you for being there.
Hey, Helen.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great to have you, darling.
Yeah. Always good to be here.
Hey, Pastor Phil. Pastor Vicki.
Hi, Mitch.
Hello. Thank y'all. Hey there, guys. Thank y'all for being there for us. Appreciate it.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
We are here for you. And I got a very nice little birthday card from your wife today. God bless her.
Well, happy birthday, Vicki.
Actually, it's not till day after tomorrow, but I'll take it now. Thank you, Judy.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'm trying to be ahead of the game a little bit. Yes, ma'am.
I'll celebrate all week, maybe all month.
Yes, ma'am. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, I got a good one. She's mean as ever, but I got a good one. I always say that. I'm blessed with a good one. I got a good, sweet wife. Yeah. I better be quiet. She's cooking dinner for me right now.
Better be good.
Oh, baby. Oh, I know you all. Boy, you're on there. I love you, baby.
If I doing okay?
That's Claudia. You just said I love you to the wrong woman.
That's okay.
No, actually, you can love her too.
I love you. I love you too, Claudia.
I know. We all love each other.
I love you too. That's right. Yes, ma'am. That's right. Yeah. Annette's supposed to be turning on too. I just called her just before I called in. She's supposed to be calling too. Thank you, sis.
Okay. Anybody else want to say hello?
We're having a love fest tonight.
Yes, we are. We're created to be the expression of God's love in the earth, and we're expressing.
That's the real deal. Well,
you better count me in then. I want to be part of that.
Okay. Thanks for being here, Gretchen.
Of course.
Amen. Bless you, my sister.
Thank you.
We love you.
Hey, Miss Gretchen. Hello, sis.
Hey, how are you guys? Air hugs all around.
Thank you. Hugs all around to you, too. Love you.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have an anointed meeting tonight, I can tell.
Just like all the rest.
Well, thank you. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay, well, anybody else? Well, we're just right on time. Anybody else want to say hello before I mute your telephones? If not, hold on. Oh, Father God, we love you. We praise you and thank you for this time in your presence. We thank you, Lord God, that you know exactly what each one of us needs to hear tonight. And we ask that you open our ears to hear your word, your love, your instruction, your encouragement, your correction. We ask that you open our hearts to understand, and I turn aside every assignment of hell that would seek to corrupt or disrupt or interrupt or otherwise defile what you mean to accomplish in these Old Testament principles. So we thank you, God, that your word is true, it is spirit, and it is life. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are Freedom's Way Ministries. I'm Vicki Burdett. I'm here with my husband, Phil, and we are the leaders, pastors of this flock. We are so glad that you have decided to join us tonight, either by podcast or live and in person right now on the telephone. We are in a series called Old Testament Principles for a New Testament Life. And this series is designed to help us understand how valuable the Word of God is from Genesis all the way through Revelation, in helping us to know our God and to know who we are in Him, so that we can come into our true identity, which is the mission at Freedom's Way, is to rid you of every unclean thing that prevents you from knowing who you are and your purpose in God's kingdom, and to move in effectiveness as a fully mature son of God. Hallelujah. So, that being said, we are in 2 Kings chapter 5. This is the second part of this chapter. Hallelujah. So, Billy, honey, you want to get us started here?
Hallelujah. Well, welcome back to Old Testament Principles for a New Testament Life. The series shows us that all the scriptures, both Old Testament and New, are profitable for us today. It isn't a case of Old Covenant Word being thrown out in favor of New Covenant Word as our only source of instruction, correction, and conviction. Every covenant of God is encompassed in the next. Jesus himself said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, so every single book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is God-breathed and important. Our foundation scripture for this series is 2 Timothy 3:16, which states the same: all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine means teaching. Reproof is conviction. Correction means setting aright. Instruction is training. And righteousness is virtue in character and action, or literally being like Jesus, who is our righteousness.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. So the examples that are set forth in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, which is our current text, they show us ourselves through the actions and attitudes of the characters revealed in this account of history. I feel quite certain, all of us can clearly relate to every one of these characters, either for good or for bad, showing where we need to correct our course, where we may be directly on target with our growth in becoming more Christ-like. So we talked about the first half of this chapter last week, and tonight we're going to finish it up. So once again, I'd like for you to listen to the entire chapter, 2 Kings chapter 5. And if you have your notes from last week, we'll review them briefly after the reading of the word, and we'll be adding some more.
Amen.
Amen. So here we go. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Wow. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said the following: "Now be advised, when the letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." Wow. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man for me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman became furious and went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not Abinah and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage, and his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him, and he said, Indeed, now I know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, when I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after and take something from him. So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me saying, indeed, just now 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. So Naaman said, please take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and handed them to 2 of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. Now he went in and stood before his master. Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence leprous, as white as snow. Wow.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. And God has promised that he follows his word with signs. So I have great expectation that we are going to have another mighty move of God in this meeting tonight. Whew, thank you, Jesus. So last week, we ask you to write down the names of those in this chapter and some characteristics about each one. Now, we saw that Naaman was important to the king and in the kingdom. He was a man of authority. He was considered great and honorable, even though he was a leper. The thing to consider is this. You can be close to the king, and you can be effective in the kingdom and still be sick. So whatever infirmities we may have, whatever injuries we may have suffered, whatever nasty disease might have attached itself to us, there is no reason to give up or to give in to it. Whether or not people like you or hate you, whether or not they are attracted to you or they reject you, it doesn't matter to the king, and it shouldn't matter to you. So tonight we're going to add some new covenant correlations to these old covenant principles that we looked at last week and also those that we're going to look at tonight. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on me. Ooh, thank you, Lord. And then farther down in the chapter, we also saw Naaman had a sense of self-importance. I would say he had a great sense of self-importance, He says, surely, I thought he was going to come out here to me. Oh, mighty Naaman, what can I do for you? Let me. But he had this sense of self-importance. He was very prideful, and that almost cost him his healing. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble.
Amen. The next person we wrote down is the little maid, the captive of Israel, who was a servant to Naaman's wife. And about her, we noted that even though she was taken against her will, suffered trauma, and was likely confused and disappointed about her life, she held no bitterness and was, in fact, helpful to her captors. She not only made the best of a bad situation, she was the best she could be in that bad situation.
Oh, help me be like that.
Amen. She was not a murmurer or a complainer and did not accuse God. Philippians 4:11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, but I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content.
Thank you, Lord. As for the next person that we wrote down was the king of Syria. We saw that this king didn't know God. He did not understand you don't move the hand of God with money, but he did care about his people. And we also see in Acts 8, verse 20, Simon the sorcerer, y'all remember that one, Peter said to him, your money perish with you because you have thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. We also saw that the king of Israel didn't know God either. He didn't trust God. He thought of himself first. Most Christians have a self-focus. Most people in who claim to know God and love God think first of themselves. This king was thinking about his own strengths and abilities and his own perceived inadequacies. I can't cure that man. So this king did not know the God he claimed to serve, and therefore he was easily ruled by a spirit of fear and the mistaken concept that he had to accomplish everything on his own. John 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing.
Amen. Elisha the prophet knew his God. Elisha trusted God and knew his power. And Elisha was not afraid. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There I believe Christ means the anointing.
Yep.
Which strengthens me. The unnamed servants of Naaman show us the voice of reason and peace. They approached Naaman with a meek and quiet spirit and brought him an answer he could accept. They were humble, wise, and tactful. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Thank you, Lord. That was a quick review of what we went over last week. So now, let's proceed and discover what else we can learn from this chapter. We're going to pick up at verse 15 if you have your Bibles open. This is where Naaman returns to Elisha. Naaman humbled himself by doing this, by recognizing the true and living God and making the confession of God's greatness. And then he wanted Elisha to accept payment for the healing he had received. By refusing to accept the bribe that was sent by the king of Syria, Elisha did two things. First of all, he introduced Naaman to the concept of grace. Essentially, he told the captain, God did this for you because he loves you, not because you could do anything for him. Now, you can take a lesson and do for others without expectation of reward.
Amen. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The second thing Elisha did was that he demonstrated to Naaman his trust in God. Elisha's action said this, God is my provider and my provision, and I trust him to take care of my needs. And then followed up in the New Testament scripture, Philippians 4 and 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Now, let's do our best to clarify this particular situation. Even though it's pretty obvious that Naaman's heart had changed, and he truly wanted to bless the man of God, the prophet recognized that God's higher purpose was to show Naaman God's grace and his goodness. Elisha knew Naaman had brought the gift from the king of Syria, and that its original purpose was to buy a healing, to offer God a bribe. Let's make a deal, God. He wanted to be quite certain that Naaman understood that is not how God operates. Now, I'm pretty certain that God used people to bless Elisha and that Elisha did not refuse to accept their blessings. It's okay. Everybody should realize this. It's okay to accept another person's blessing into your life. And in fact, there are times that if you refuse it, you deny them the blessing that comes with giving. But here, Elisha had good reason not to accept, and that reason was to benefit Naaman and not himself. If you read down a few verses, it said, Elisha spared Naaman, spared him, by refusing to accept the gift. When you introduce someone to God's goodness and his grace, you're saving his very life. It is actually a picture of being born again and realizing it's not by anything I can do. I can't earn it. I can't buy God's grace. I can't buy his love or his healing power. And I just thought of something else here. You know, if Elisha had accepted Naaman's gift, Naaman not only would not have seen grace, the grace and the goodness of God, but he would have eventually felt that he earned what he got, his healing. He bought it.
Right. True. Very important.
Naaman's response to Elisha's refusal, I found to be very interesting. it seems he got it. He understood. And so now he wants to play a place to worship God. He asked Elisha for an acre of land. That is what two mules burden of earth indicates. Naaman told the prophet, from now on, I'm going to sacrifice to the God of Israel, but I need a place. Back where I come from, there's only the house of Ramon. And by the way, it's in my job description to go there with my boss. I ask forgiveness for this in advance. So there are a few things we can deduce about Naaman to write under his name in your notes. First of all, he responded to God and repented. That's a big one. He had a change of mind and a change of heart, and he accompanied that with an action. That is true repentance. I recognize the true God. I commit to worship no other God but the Lord, and I want to build a place to do just that, he said. Romans 2:4. Or despise you the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance?
Hallelujah. I think everyone's beginning to get a real good picture of how we see our new covenant in these Old Testament principles. The other thing to write down about Naaman is he was not rebellious or impulsive. He honored the authority over him. He knew what would be expected of him, and he explained that he needed to know he was forgiven for entering the place where another god was to be worshipped. He had no intention of entering into worship of Ramon, but desired to fulfill his obligation to the king. This is a great point. Elisha alleviated his concern when he told Naaman to be at peace. You know, I believe that Elisha knew Naaman and the king were friends, as well as king and subject. It's likely that Naaman would have shared his newfound faith in the true God, and perhaps even convinced the king not to go into the house of Ramon. Who knows? But the way I read it is this. Naaman was not casual. He was not presumptive about worship and who should be worshipped. He wasn't mixing or mingling a little God and a little Ramon, and he wasn't compromising in his heart. His heart was right. And God looks on the heart. 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed.
Amen. As for what else to write about Elisha, make a note that he listened to God and that he cared more about the other guy than he did about himself. I'm sure it would have been nice to have 10 talents of silver, some new clothes, and 6,000 pieces of gold. But the purpose of God is more important than money. Grace is greater than worldly riches. And in Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. In verse 20, we find our next character, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. And you got to wonder where Elisha got this guy. Even though he recognized that Elisha spared Naaman by refusing the stuff he brought, Gehazi was out for himself. He was probably thinking, Elisha might not take it, but I will. So he runs after Naaman, to relieve him of some of his of those worldly riches. Then he lied and told Naaman that Elisha sent him. Of all the things God hates, lying lips are right there at the top of the list. Personally, I believe that it wouldn't have been necessary for Gehazi to lie to get something from Naaman. The man was ready to give, ready to honor God. When Gehazi asked for one talent of silver, Naaman insisted he take two. Gehazi was asking something for himself, and he lied twice to Naaman, first by saying Elisha sent him, and second by making Naaman think his gift was for someone else, for other prophets of God. Write down, Gehazi undermined authority over him, and Gehazi was a liar. And that is not a pretty picture. It is not good to lie about giving money to the servants of God. God really has a particular pet peeve, I believe, about that. And what was it? Who were the two?
Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah, when he struck them down for lying to the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, I would think that if you want to put white lies out there, you better do it in another area. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Oh, ouch. Okay. And then let's go on with God here. Yeah, it sounds a little serious. Then after he got home, Gehazi took the stuff from Naaman's servants and sent them away. And when he went into Elisha and the prophet asked him where he'd been, he lied again. Now, that's just stupid. Supposedly, if you are a servant to a prophet of God, you'd have to know the prophet has discernment. The prophet would know you're lying. You know, when you have discerning of spirits, you have this little meter, this little lie detector inside you. When people lie to you, you know it. You know they're lying. Elisha says, where'd you go, Gehazi? Oh, nowhere.
It's like God asking Adam, where are you, son? You know, God knew where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to admit where he was. And in the same way, Elisha knew where Gehazi went. He just wanted Gehazi to admit it. Things might have gone differently for him if he had. And he didn't. So he suffered a terrible consequence for his deceit. And notice this, it wasn't just Gehazi that suffered. It was also his offspring. Our actions do not only affect ourselves, they affect the generations to follow, for bad or for good. Sometimes it's easy to see the generational curses in our families, but not so easy to see the generational blessings. We should all take a little time this week to really consider this and thank God for the generational blessings we've been given.
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in you also. And I would just wanted to add to that that it's great to have those generational blessings, but the power of Christ makes it so that you can experience those without even having them in your generation. So, hallelujah. You know, we have a better covenant. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So in Naaman, we see, like, we're going to do a quick recap here.
quick recap of principles that were evident in the second part of the chapter. In Naaman, we see humility and true repentance position us to receive God's grace. Humility and true repentance position us to receive God's grace. Second, we see that we can make an altar to God, a place in which to worship Him. Now, this is a place where you can go to make the daily sacrifice of your life to Him. Some people have a prayer closet. Some people have a special spot in their yard or in the park or on the porch. Or, you know, there's just some place that you can build an altar, a spiritual altar to the Lord. And third, we see that we should honor those in authority over us. When we honor those in authority over us, we will have peace.
Amen. In Elisha, we see introducing God's grace is of more importance than receiving gifts. Grace is greater than worldly riches. Understand God is your provider and trust in Him to do so. Thank you, Lord. Listen to God and learn to care more about others than you do yourself. Hallelujah. Powerful man of God. In Gehazi, we see, never undermine the authority over you. God hates liars. Understand that the Holy Spirit will expose your sin. You can't hide. I mean, back in those days, you know, not everybody had the Spirit of God like this guy had the Spirit of God. So, I mean, that's, you know, why would you be even operating with this guy? Or if you're going to tell lies, you don't want to say it to one of the very few people out there that can read your mind. You can't hide. Well, in now times, of course, you're convicted of the Holy Spirit. He's in you. So praise the Lord. Our actions don't affect us. And this, again, is back about Gehazi. Our actions don't affect us only, but have an impact on the generations to follow as well as on those around us.
Amen. Amen. And these, again, are certainly principles that apply to us today and that we can adopt and adapt into our lives to be more like Jesus. So if you have that desire to be more like Jesus and to seal this word and these principles in your heart and in your mind and in your life, then I would ask that you pray this prayer with me out loud. And then we'll do a little bit of deliverance from some things that may have been holding you back. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your awesome principles.
Thank you for your awesome principles.
For life and living. Thank you for teaching me your good and acceptable and perfect will.
Good and acceptable and perfect will.
So that I can prosper and be in peace.
So that I can prosper and be in peace.
Thank you for showing me, Father.
Thank you for showing me, Father.
How to position myself to receive your grace. Every day. By living a life of humility and repentance. And help me to make the daily sacrifice.
Daily sacrifice.
My life. in love and service to you and others.
Love and service.
Forgive me, Lord, for any time that I placed worldly riches in priority over your grace. Forgive me for failing to trust you as my provider and my provision.
As my provider and my provision.
Guide me, Lord, in building a spiritual altar.
God, building a spiritual altar.
Where I can worship you daily.
Worship you daily.
And receive your word for my life and circumstances.
Your word for my life and circumstances.
Forgive me, Lord.
Forgive me, Lord.
For not placing proper value on my time with you. Father, forgive me for allowing the urgent, to get in the way of the important. Forgive me for allowing my worship of you, to become casual or superficial. Keep me humble, Lord.
Keep me humble.
Honoring the authority you've placed over me.
Honoring the authority you've placed over me.
And keep me honest and transparent before you.
Keep me transparent before you.
So that I cause no harm.
No harm.
To my children. My grandchildren. Or others, by selfish or fearful actions and attitudes. I break all agreement now with any spirit of pride or rebellion. I break agreement with selfishness, procrastination. And mistrust. I break all agreement, Lord, with doubt and unbelief.
Doubt and unbelief.
And every spirit of deception and secretiveness.
Deception and secretiveness.
I forgive my ancestors. For opening the door to any of these things.
Opening the door to any of them.
And I release them from responsibility.
I release them from responsibility.
For any curse that attached itself to me.
For any curse attached itself to me.
I take those curses and give them to Jesus.
Take the curses and give them to Jesus.
And forgive me, Lord, for my participation with these things.
Forgive me, Lord, for my participation with these things.
And also for undermining the authority of others.
Also for undermining the authority of others.
I have been wrong many times.
I have been wrong many times.
And I repent to you, Father. Right now, I receive your forgiveness, and I forgive myself. Wash me and cleanse me in the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness, and restore me to right standing with you, Father.
Restore me to right standing with you, Father.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As I pray this prayer, there may be some unclean thing that has not left you, and it might, you might experience some kind of manifestation. You may cough or sneeze or cry, yawn. Yawning is a big thing. Your stomach may feel queasy, or you might get some tightness in your chest or a band around your head or whatever. Know this. Those manifestations are only there because that spirit doesn't want to go. And if it can distract you, take you out of being engaged with the Lord, or put you into fear of evil, then, you know, it can just hang on. But you have broken agreement with it, and I now speak to any fear of evil. I bind you and I set you aside and I say, no. You are bound with the cords of Yeshua HaMashiach. I set you aside. God is coming through. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I take the sword of the Spirit of God and I sever generational cords of iniquity, evil soul ties that have held any of this in place in your lives. I release you from those bands, those bonds, the bindings, the snares, the webs, the traps of the generations, the spiritual deception, the spiritual bewitchment. I loose you from that in the name of Jesus Christ. I send back in the spirit every ungodly thing that attached itself to you, and I take back for you every godly thing you were meant to have. And I speak now to spirits of pride, rebellion, selfishness, procrastination, and mistrust. These people have broken agreement with you and you cannot stay. You come up and out from every cell in their body. Now I send you to the pit that burning coals fall on you and you cannot rise again. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Father, thank you for your angels of burning, judgment, destruction, to herd them up and send them to hell. In Jesus' name, I speak to doubt, spirit guides, generational and present, of doubt and unbelief, spirits of deception, secretiveness. Loose them. Spirits that would cause you to undermine authority, perverseness, subversion, to subvert and overthrow. I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Loose these people and let them go. I cast you out and ascend all of you into the consuming fire of the living God. Our God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you come and you tear down every altar that has been built to self-focus, self-centeredness, any other God, any idols. Tear down those altars stone by stone and crush them under the feet of Jesus Christ. And Lord, set up the true altar in our hearts to the living God, the only truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I ask that you fill your people from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet with your purity and your power. Where these spirits of pride and rebellion have gone, Lord, fill us with humility. Fill us with a harmony. Fill us with submission. Fill us with a willingness, Lord, to yield. Where there was selfishness, fill us with your grace, selflessness. Where there was procrastination, give us motivation. Where there was mistrust, give us a deeper faith. Where there was doubt and unbelief, Lord, grow us up in your truth and steadfast faithfulness. Lord, where there was deception and secretiveness, give us the tender vulnerability of love. Give us transparency, holy boldness without fear, that we come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you, God, that our house, the home of our hearts, the city of our hearts, is not emptied, but full of every fruit of your Holy Spirit and every aspect of your character. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Take a breath, everyone, nice and deep. Drink in the living water as the Lord floods you with that refreshing. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. If you have a comment, if you have a question, please push your *6 keys on your telephone keypad, and we will be able to hear you. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit is moving out there tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are coming into a new dimension in your life. In those places where you felt stuck, you're not going to have to pry yourself out.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Vicky. It's Annette.
Hi.
Welcome, my dear.
Awesome, thank you. Awesome. Yeah, I finally got here. I try. That's some awesome
praise
teaching. Yeah, that was some good one. Yeah, it's a good one, most definitely.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. God is good. God is faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Who else has something to say tonight? Anyone?
Yes, sisters. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being with me in my prayer wagon out here. As I'm on the road out here, the Holy Spirit's always with me in my prayer wagon. Thank you, brother and sister.
Amen. Hallelujah. This goes to show you can build an altar anywhere.
Yes, praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, God. Powerful stuff tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother and sister.
Thank you, Mitch. Bless you, brother.
Thanks to both of you. Thanks always seems to be such a, and there ought to be something
wonderful
more
word
to go along with it. Pardon me?
Yeah. It's such a wonderful word. Thank you.
Yeah. I just like to put something else with it, but it's awesome when I sit under your deliverance, and I just thank God and for both of you. And I have a very blessed weekend. No, week. We're going for a week, aren't we? Okay. Thank you.
Yes, we are. Every day's a holiday. Every meal's a banquet. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Helen. God bless you. Have a prosperous and peaceful week. And
amen.
Phil's going to bless us with the benediction here in a minute. Anybody else got something to say?
Yes, Vicki, this is Alice. I just want to let you know that the last couple of weeks have been really making a big difference in the way I've been feeling and acting. A real big difference. So I thank you very much.
Praise God. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alice.
I'm actually getting motivated. My procrastination is going, and I'm actually getting some work done around here. And sooner or later, I'm going to get over there and see you again.
Okay. All right. Just make sure my car's here.
Yep.
Okay. And I heard someone else.
It was me. I was just saying what a sweet, sweet time in the Lord tonight. It's wonderful teaching. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are very special. Thank you. Anybody else have anything to add this evening?
If not, please mute your telephones for the benediction.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Father. We worship you this evening. We are so pleased with you, Father. We are so pleased and so thankful that you have us in your plan, in your heart, that you have a way and a plan for each and every one of us to prosper in you. So we are thankful for that, Lord. And we submit ourselves to you and the process, Lord, to be all that you would have us be in your kingdom with your authority. So we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for all you do, all that you are. We worship you. You are our all in all. We're thankful for the word. We ask you to seal it in our heart this evening. And as Aaron, and with your permission, of course, Lord, as Aaron blessed the children of Israel, I will bless your children here, which are your chosen people, because they have you in their heart, and the circumcision is of the heart. So we are thankful for that, Lord. And I will bless your people with the Aaronic benediction from Numbers, the 6th chapter, first in Hebrew, and then in English. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha ifunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I add in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And we thank you for the blessing, Lord. We thank you again for all that you're doing. Thank you that you are empowering us to enter into your rest on a daily basis, your Sabbath day. We are so grateful for that, the peace in our hearts, Lord. The walk with you is just amazing. So we thank you for all you're doing, and we give you honor and glory this evening in the mighty name and precious name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you all. We will be here in the morning at 7:15 for the King's Table. Join us if you can. This message will be repeated on Friday night at 8:30.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You're so welcome. God bless you. God bless. Good night. Good night. God bless. Bye. God bless.
There he is.
A happy guy.